Morning. Lord bless you. You have anything to thank the Lord about? Are you grateful for anything? Well, that's the heart of praise. If you're not grateful, you won't be a praiser. If you're grateful, that's the key. Okay, let's go home. We're going to fill in some blanks. Thank you, Jesus. Go with me, if you would, please, to Acts chapter 16. We're going to read an incident out of the book of Acts. I'm not going to be teaching simply on that, but I want you to have a little something to look at. Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse number 19 through verse 31, I believe. 31, yeah. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them to the chief magistrates, they said, "These men are throwing our city into confusion, being Jews, and are proclaiming custom which is not lawful for us to accept or to observe, being Romans." The crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrate tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. When they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison house was shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And he called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Wow. Every word is important that we've read there. We've been doing studies here lately on the term spiritual. And really, in the New Covenant, it means just to live out of the Holy Spirit, to live from or from the Holy Spirit. And Jesus described the New Covenant as an outflowing of life. You remember he said, "He who believes in me, as the Scriptures have said, out from within," in the Greek it says, "out from within his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." The Bible said he spoke that of the Spirit. It means that the presence of God would flow out of his heart. You see, living water is a symbol of divine life. And it refers to divine life, or it refers to the presence of God. And did you know that? That the presence of God can flow out of you? That's what it means. God's New Covenant people are described as a prophetic people. And when you define the word prophecy, it means to flow forth. Well, here it says, from your innermost being shall flow divine life. Living water is divine life, or the presence of God. What I want to do today, we're going to continue with issues of spirituality, but we ended last week talking just briefly. I shared just briefly on some words that speak of praise. Now, we have one English word that speaks of praise. The Hebrew language has 8 or 9 words that speak of praise. Quite a few, 7 basic words, but there's quite a few other words that speak of praise. And we may wonder, why did they have such an emphasis on the various forms of praise? Well, there's 2 reasons. First of all, the ancients were taught that God manifests Himself. That's what the glory means. It means the visible manifestation or the excellence of God. That God manifests Himself in the heart that praises God. He manifests Himself. But the second thing is that the prophets, when they prophesied, they spoke from what we call a prophetic perfect, which means they spoke for us. So many of the things they were prophesying actually directly apply to New Covenant believers. And so what we want to do today is talk about this. Evidently, Paul and Silas knew what they were doing, and they were prompted by the Holy Spirit to do what they did. And out of that, there came a covering of the Holy Spirit over the whole prison. If you notice, nobody left. and all the chains fell off and all the doors were open, not one prisoner left the prison. Why? Because they were all under the influence of the glory of God and the presence of God. And He was in control. So we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about setting the captives free. And I pray the Lord will bring some light into our hearts on this awesome subject. Let's pray together and I'll tell you where we're going to go. Father in heaven, thank You that Your will is being performed in our hearts and lives by Your Son Jesus, by Your Holy Spirit. You teach us Your ways and You let us see awesome things that are even beyond our understanding. But Lord, help me today to minister as I should. We have sang the songs of Zion. We have rejoiced in Your love. And Your presence is upon us now. We ask the Holy King that You would teach us. Thank You for blessing Your church and all things and all the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, if you want to take notes, I always like to tell you where we're going to go. The three areas, three basic areas. Number one, we're going to talk about the song of praise. We're going to talk about that title, that issue, the song of praise. And then secondly, we're going to talk about garments of glory. A very unusual term that's used called garments of glory. We'll talk about that. You'll see that in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And then thirdly, we'll talk about the believer's personal victory. The believer's personal victory. Good instruction, folks. Something for everybody here today, I believe. Let's leave Paul and Silas alone for a while. I just want to talk to you about the song of praise. A gentleman wrote me this week and asked me if I could help him find a church where they didn't sing. Well, I couldn't help him because I don't know many churches that don't sing. Because it's singing in worship is the natural outflow of faith. It is the natural language of faith. And I don't know that you can find a church that doesn't sing. Maybe some that don't, but it is the outflow, is the natural outflow of the Spirit. And Spirit-filled believers are praisers. Whenever you see somebody who's Spirit-filled, they're going to be a praiser. If they're not Spirit-filled, they're not praisers. The Spirit-filled life and praiser, they just link together. They're just almost synonymous terms. And so, very important that we understand that. Now, in the Greek language, the word for praying also means worshiping. And I'm going to give you a little synopsis. If you go to Jude, only has one chapter in Jude, right before Revelation, the small book of Jude. And you'll see a synopsis actually on the subject that we're studying today, but I just want you to see this. I have several places to take you this morning, but if you look at Jude, I want to begin at verse 20. Listen to the language where it says, but you, beloved, the word beloved means divinely loved of the Father, divinely loved ones. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying or worshiping. See, the word praying can be translated worshiping. Praying and or worshiping in the Holy Spirit. That is, under the influence of the Holy Spirit. So you're worshiping or praying in the Holy Spirit. And what happens is you keep yourselves in this, what we call the love of God. Keeping yourself in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And have mercy on some. What happens in the Spirit-filled life, it gives you a capacity to do some certain things. It says, have mercy on some who are doubting, save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Now, to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and make you stand in the presence of His glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord. What I want you to see there, though, is the language really encapsulate what we're talking about today. Praying or worshiping in the Holy Spirit puts you into a sphere of spirituality. And that in this sphere of being spiritual, you're able to do spiritual things. Paul said, our weapons are not of the flesh, but they are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. So when you're in that, when you're in the Spirit, because you're a praying person, a worshiping person, you maintain that, you try to maintain that level of life, you're able to do things for others that you normally would not do, would not even be aware of. So that's just in the issue of what Jude is telling us there. So, in the Bible, the terms worship, the terms praying, the terms of faith, the terms praise, the term presence of God are all related terms. They all You'll find them always flowing somewhat together. Now, go to Psalm 84, please, verse number 4. I'm going to take you through some wordage on praising. I want to give you some background on these Hebrew terms for praise. And I'm not going to labor these points. I just want to, and I'm going to save the high term for last. But I just want you to see how the Hebrews express, how God gave them to express praise. Now, if you look at Psalms 84, verse number four. How blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Now, the word praising there is halal, which means to shine or to boast. It's really a very strong word. We get our word hallelujah. It's actually a word that means to act foolish or to act madly. It comes from a root word. That's why they translate it sometimes as being clamorously foolish. So you're just beside yourself. And it doesn't make any difference. You see, if you're self-conscious, folks, you've got a problem. It means you're into yourself. When you become God-conscious or become Jesus-conscious, you get outside of yourself. And you may act a little ridiculous every once in a while. Nothing wrong with that. So this is the word halal. They're shining. They're boasting. They're glorying in the Lord. It's an awesome word that's being used there. And this is what the children were doing in the temple. Whenever Jesus was in the temple and people were coming and they were being healed, and the children began, they just began to shout out saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." And they started doing what kids do. They were just dancing and shouting. And the authorities said, "Don't you see what these children are doing?" In other words, make them shut up. And Jesus said, "Have you never read where it was written, 'Out of the mouth of babes and infants I have ordained praise'?" He was quoting from Psalm 8. Go back to Psalm 8. I'm going to bring you back to Psalm 84 in just a moment. But go back to Psalm 8 where Jesus was quoting. Psalm chapter 8. Just listen to the language. "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Who have displayed your splendor above the heavens. From the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have established strength because of your adversaries to make the enemy and the revengeful cease." That word strength, quoted from the Septuagint, was, "You have established praise. And out of this praise comes strength. And out of this praise comes the scattering of the enemy. And out of this praise comes a strong people, because they're a praising people. And you've ordained it." That's why Jesus said, let's you become like children. You know, look at little children, how they praise the Lord. Look at these little ones around here sometimes. They'll just do anything. They'll dance. They'll pray. Mama can have them in her arm. They'll lift their hand and just pray to God. They'll just clap their hands. God wants us to be that way. He wants us to be able to worship and to praise Him and to honor Him and glory Him, glorify His holy name. So we see this, and if you're taking scripture note, Matthew 21:16 is the scripture that you may want to just jot down in your note. I won't take you over there, but the children were not inhibited. And he's quoting from Psalm 8 and 2, and it says to establish strength or to establish praise. Now, if I bring you back to Psalm 84, I want you to listen once again. Verse 4, "How blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you." Now, what's going to be the result of these people who are ever praising the Lord? The next few scriptures tell us. Look at verse 5. "How blessed is the man whose strength is in you." Remember Psalm 8, strength ordained in praise. "How blessed is the man whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring." The valley of Baca is the valley of tears, the valley of weeping. Somehow it is turned into a spring. "The early rain also covers it with blessings. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God in Zion." This is all descriptions of the issue of praise. Now, that was the term halal. There are other terms, and I'm not going to take you to a lot of scriptures. I just want you to listen to what they are. I spoke about them last week just a little bit. The Hebrew word yada, Y-A-D-E-H, yada. What does it mean? Stretch out your hands. To confess. To reach out. You see, the hands are a symbol of our spiritual life. Violent men use their fists to fight. Gentle men use their hands to bless. Jesus used his hands to bless. He never fought anybody, but he blessed. And God wants us to learn to lift our hands. In the New Testament, it instructs us, men and women, by the way. We think it's just a man scripture. If you read the next scripture that goes with that, men everywhere lift up holy hands. Women also, but it also addresses the women's attire in that they're to, well, I won't even get into that. But anyway, the issue of worshiping. So yada, the natural basic form of worship throughout the Bible among God's ancient people was the lifting of the hands. I will lift up my hands at the evening sacrifice. I'll call upon your name. That's yada. Then the other word is todah, which means T-O-W-D-A-H. Todah. T-O-W-D-A-H. Which means the same thing, except you're doing it as a sacrifice. You're either offering a sacrifice or you're doing it because it is a sacrifice. And so you don't feel like it. If we were to transpose it over into our life, you really don't feel like doing it. There's nothing that makes you just want to do it. But you're going to do it anyway. Because God says, I have ordained a statute in Jacob that they are to be praisers. And so, todah, you lift up your hands and you worship God anyway. And you do it as a sacrifice. Or you do it by offering sacrifices to God. So that's an interesting word. It's just one of the words. You have another word that's called zamar. Z-A-M-A-R. Zamar. Which means, play a guitar. It means to touch the strings. It means to sing with an instrument. I can pick up my guitar in my office at any moment and fill that office with the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, I become filled with the Holy Spirit. I'll pick up that guitar and I'll just start singing. It doesn't have to be any particular song. I can just start singing, worshiping the Lord. And my temple just begins to overflow with the Holy Spirit. And CJ is usually in there with me. I don't know whether he knows it or not, but he's under the influence of the Holy Spirit. CJ is my big great Dane. But anyway, that's what zamar means. It means to touch the strings. So you're singing, you're worshiping with the instrument. And then you have the word barak, which is to shout. It's to shout. We're worshiping here, and once we hear somebody say, hallelujah! That's barak. Praise the Lord! That's barak. That's worship. That's biblical worship for God's people to be able to do that. And there are a lot of other terms. I'm not wanting to just get into all these different terms, but I want you to see just the awesomeness of these terms. Now, there's a special word in the Greek that comes out that reflects back on the Hebrew. If you go with me to Colossians chapter 3, we'll see the similar instructions to the church of Colossae. And as we read this scripture, you're going to find that teaching and singing are synonymous, are brought together. One reason the church, when we first come together, we don't preach and teach at the very beginning is because of what the Holy Spirit does through singing and worship. There's a spiritual therapeutic value that works in the congregation that brings your heart together with Jesus. And so we have our worship and we sing praises to the Lord. And then comes that divine moment where He has our attention, our ears are opened, and the man of God can stand in the pulpit and begin to share the Word of God. We're ready to receive. You ever notice sometimes you come into a service, the first couple of songs, it just seems like they're kind of dragging. You can't quite get into it. Then something will click. And one moment you was kind of draggy over here, but there's just some song or something that's said, or the worship leader is why it's so important that a worship leader understands something about praise. The worship leader will say something or hit it, you just do it just right. The Holy Spirit will use that, and all of a sudden it becomes a catalyst inside of you. And you begin to worship. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe your heart was heavy. Maybe your thoughts were heavy. Maybe you were struggling with a problem. Maybe you needed an answer that you needed through the week and it wasn't there. But when you came on Sunday morning and you began to worship, all of a sudden, oh, thank you, Jesus. See, the heart of worship is thankfulness. And the Holy Spirit begins to stir up that thankfulness in our heart. Now, if you go to Colossians, I want you to see Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. It said, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. We've talked about that often. I mean, this is governmental peace. This is the peace of the Holy Spirit. Let the peace of the Holy Spirit rule, which means to umpire or define the territory of your heart, God's rightness. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. See the words, and be thankful. You were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to the Lord. That's congregational worship. We are together. The Word of God is richly, the peace of God is richly ruling in our hearts. That peace has come into our hearts to rule over us. And then we have all this, the wisdom teaching, all that goes together. But then there's this little word. Of course, the word spiritual song means songs that are born by the Holy Spirit. He bears witness to them. He's giving you these songs to sing. And then the word singing here is very similar to the Hebrew word zamar, which means with a musical instrument. It's a synonym, or it's really combined with the word that means to touch the strings. And so God wants us, and there's a lot of scriptures in the Old Testament that talk about that kind of worship. Now, what I want to do now is bring you to the special term that's used in the scripture for singing your praises. And we'll look at it in just a moment, what I call the law of first mention. If you go back to Exodus chapter 15, remember we said about the law of first mention in the Bible? Whenever a subject or a word is first mentioned in the Bible, it carries the embryo thought throughout all the scriptures. That thought will always remain the same. It may be expanded on, but the basic thought will always be the same. So you have Exodus chapter 15, and begin with verse number 1, then I'm going to skip way down. Then Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to the Lord and said, I will sing to the Lord, for He is highly exalted. The horse and his rider He has hurled into the sea. Now let me stop for a minute. Moses is doing this, and Miriam begins to do something. What does Miriam do? She gets her tambourine. And all of a sudden, she begins shaking the tambourine, and the women look up. And Miriam begins dancing. She's one of the leaders in Israel. There's three of the leaders. They're from the same family. They're brothers and sisters. And she begins to shake the tambourine, and she begins to dance. And all of a sudden, these women get in beside her, and they start dancing. And they start worshiping God. They're worshiping God in the dance. Folks, that's not out of order. That's biblical worship. Now, if you'll drop down to verse number 11, is the verse I want you to see. The other verse I want you to see. Who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in Tehillah? That's the Hebrew word, Tehillah. Awesome in Tehillah, working miracles. Now, that word Tehillah connects to salvation and connects to singing. It is like singing a song of salvation. Tehillah. T-E-L-L-H-A-H, I believe. Tehillah is how you pronounce it. This is what Paul and Silas were doing. They had prayed. They had been praying. And they began singing songs of hymns of praise to God. They were Jewish men. They had the background. Gentiles didn't have that kind of background. These Hebrew men knew what they were doing. They didn't know what God was going to do, but they knew what they were supposed to do. Now, their batch had been laid out by rods, not Jewish compassion with 39 stripes. Their batch had been laid raw by the Romans. And they were placed not just in prison, they were placed in the inner prison, the darkest place, because that guardian knew, the prison keeper knew, that if they escaped, he had to forfeit his life. That was the law of Rome. And so their feet are put in, they're shackled. And so they were praying. They were praying. They were worshiping. And then they began to Tehillah. They began to sing praises, hymns of praises to God. And when they did that, the glory of God began to flow and move around them. Next thing you know, the earth began to shake and the earth began to tremble. Why? Because God had come down in the midst of their faith and in the midst of their worship. And He uniquely showed His glory there. He manifests His presence in that prison. The next thing you know, all the prisoners are free. But they don't want to leave. Why? Because the glory of God was there and He won't let them go anywhere. And so they're all being contained by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because God's got a great work that He's doing. He didn't want these guys just to escape. Somebody needed to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somebody needs to hear the message from heaven. And so when the jailer came in and was going to kill himself, Paul wouldn't let him do it. And he asked the eternal question. What a simple question. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved and your house. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you glad you found out salvation's not difficult? He saves us from ourselves, and He saves us from our stupidity. I know you've never been there, but I have. And so, but over here, we have here in Exodus the issue of where this word is, the first time that word is being used, that He is awesome in Tehillah. He's awesome in praise. He's awesome. He's majestic in His glory, and He's awesome in Tehillah. Now, I want you to see 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And we're dealing with just one word right now, and then we're going to move on in a moment. But I just want you to get the feeling and see the awesomeness of God's people worshiping and praising Him. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 21, 22. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire. As they went out before the army and said, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting." When they began singing, when they began Tehillah, when they began singing and praising, I think it's together here in Hebrew. Tehillah, singing and praising. The Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so they were routed. When were they routed? When they began singing, God set ambushments. You want to defeat the enemy, working over your mind, working in your life. You want to bypass about 12 years of seminary. Just be a praiser. Learn to praise God. Just have a thankful heart. Be thankful all the time. Paul said, in everything, give thanks. When they began to sing Tehillah, the Bible says the power of God moved and he ambushed the enemy. Next thing you know, the enemy was routed because God had manifested his glory and his presence among the people. Do you have anything to be thankful for? Do you wake up every morning being thankful? I thank God all the time. You don't want to hear me tell you about my thankfulness, but I'm going to do it anyway. I thank God every morning for my family. I thank Him every day throughout the day. I thank Him for my wife of well over 40 years now. I thank Him for my children and for my son-in-law and my daughters-in-law. I thank Him for all my grandchildren. I tell Him, "Father, what a wonderful family You have given me." I thank Him for this church. It's some of the most beautiful people on the earth. He put them in this church. Now, I know every crow thinks her little bitties are the blackest crows of all, but this and every pastor say the same thing, but I can just tell you that we have some of the most beautiful people that ever walked this planet in this church. And I thank God for them every day. I thank God for you. I have a prayer list for your names are here on my prayer list. And I thank God for you. I thank God that I'm getting older. I thank God that I'm getting wiser. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. In everything. He didn't say for everything. He said in everything. Your job is in the thing, give the thanks. Paul and Silas were in the thing. They were giving the thanks. Hallelujah. They're worshiping God. Be a thankful person. That's the heart of faith. God's going to get you out of your trouble. Start praising Him. Don't get sucked into it. Don't let it just overpower your thinking. Start praising the Lord. Give honor and glory to Him. Do you see that? And so that is the Tehillah. Now we're going to talk about that a little more, but I want you to get you into the second area, talking about garments of glory. These are very related. These first two points are very much related. Some people, you know, they hear you teach about praise as used in the Old Testament, and they say, "Well, that's really not for us." You're fooling yourself, folks. The reason the New Testament is not so thick that they didn't have to rewrite the Bible. They weren't trying to rewrite the Bible. They're just bringing it into the new covenant. The book of Psalms has always been God's book of worship for His people of every age and every generation. Now, I want to give you a couple of scriptures. Go to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. Now, just stay with me now because we're fixing to talk about garments of glory, but I want you to see a little more about Tehillah. Psalms 22:1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. Is that for us? Who is that? That's Jesus on the cross, right? Is that for us? Look at verse number 22. I will tell your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. Is that for us? It's quoted in the New Testament. That's for us. Now look at verse number 3. Yet you are holy, O you who are enthroned upon the Tehillah of Israel. Your glory is seen. Your habitation is made known by the singing people of Israel, by those who worship you, Tehillah, the songs of praise. You manifest your praise. Remember when they dedicated the temple of Solomon, and they had the praisers begin praising, and the glory of God filled that whole temple, and nobody was able to minister? That's what the day of Pentecost was about, too, folks. The glory of God had entered, had come into the earth. But I want you to see this. And I remember many, many years ago, we had went over to Houston to visit with one of Betty's sisters and her brother-in-law. And we got over, Shanna was running a real fever. She was sick, her throat was all swollen. And we got to her brother-in-law's house. He's a Muslim, so. But anyway, if I remember right, I either got her to singing with me or I put on a worship tape. You may remember, Shanna. But I got her to singing with me. Get her to sing with Daddy. We began to worship God. And you know what happened? The fever broke. And the healing came. The ministry of God was there. Why? Because there was an unction from the Holy Spirit to begin to praise the Lord. Now you, Daddy, you help your child praise the Lord and get her to praising God with you. And that fever broke. So, don't think that these terms are not relevant to us today. They're very, very important to us today. I want to give you a little more on Tehillah, then we'll move on. Look at Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verse 1. Everybody have it? Then I'll show you in a minute where Tehillah actually connects with healing. It can connect with healing. You have Psalm 40. Listen carefully. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of Tehillah to God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. Are you listening to the language? I was in trouble. I needed help. I waited patiently for the Lord. I was waiting to see what the Lord would say, what He would do, how He would help me. I waited on Him. I looked to Him. I waited patiently for the Lord. And He inclined to me and heard my cry. He heard my prayer. He brought me out. There's a song we used to sing. He brought me out of the miry clay. Remember that song? He set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my mouth today. My heart today, a song of praise, hallelujah. The word here is Tehillah. And so what He does, He set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth. He put a song in my mouth. Keep that phrase in mind. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of Tehillah, or praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. People are attracted to praisers because there's an appearance about a praiser that's different than a person that's not a praiser. A person that's not a praiser always looks sad, forlorn, always struggling with flesh things, or whatever it may be, and there's no praise there. But a praiser is walking in the victory and the freedom of the captive set free. Why? Because God has put a new song in his heart and in his mouth, a song of Tehillah, a song of praise. Now, I've got you there. I want you to back up to Psalm 33. I'm just showing you how this word is used. And then I'll show you how it connects to even to healing. Psalm 33:1 says, "Sing for joy in the Lord, O you righteous one. Tehillah is becoming to the upright." That word becoming means to make you beautiful. Grace makes you beautiful. Here it's talking about Tehillah. When God's people praise, they become beautiful people. They smile a lot. There's laughter and joy in their life. They're praisers. And it's becoming to them. It becomes their spiritual makeup in a real sense that it's really part of their life. Now, go to Psalm 34. And this is a psalm the Lord gave me many years ago that I wrote a song out of. It's a wonderful, wonderful psalm. David said, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His tehillah shall continually be in my mouth." I'm going to sing praises to Him. I'm going to worship Him. He's always going to be there in my thoughts and my heart upon my lips. I want to sing awesome songs to Him. Now, there's one more that I want to move on. I want to talk about the glory in just a moment. There's one more scripture that shows how tehillah can link to healing. If you go to Jeremiah chapter 17, Jeremiah's in a lot of trouble. Jerusalem's in a lot of trouble. But if you drop down to verse number 14 and listen where Jeremiah makes a connection between deliverances and healings and this awesome aspect of worship and praise. Do you have it? Look at verse 14. "Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. For you are my tehillah. I worship you. I praise you." You know, more people, I think, have been healed that way than any other way and not even realize that was happening. You have people that come into a congregation of worshipers, and maybe they're struggling with a physical problem, whatever, you know, whatever it may be, something that's going on in their life, and they get in the atmosphere of praise, the atmosphere of worship, the atmosphere of teaching, and next thing you know, that pain is not there, and that pain is gone. It's been lifted off of them. Why? Because God, in His glory, in His love and His grace, made a healing to that person while they were sitting there. They didn't even come up front. Listen, folks, I've been preaching a long time. I've seen it happen many times. Why, it's so important God people gather together, because Jesus said, "Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am." Well, what are you doing? Doing what I always do. What do you always do? Read the Bible. Read the gospel. You'll see what I always do. And I'll do it in your midst. Become a praiser and a worshiper and become attuned to my word and listen to my voice and listen to my teaching, listen to my instruction, and it'll be healing for you. It'll be health to your body. It'll help you to watch over your own heart. Remember the book of Proverbs chapter 4 talks about that. Attend to my words. You know, give heed to my sayings. He said, for they are, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are health to those who hear him. I want you to go back. I'm trying to quote around it. I'm not doing it justice. Go back to Proverbs 4. I just listened to the language, something that the Hebrew prophets knew, the Hebrew people all knew. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 20. It said, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life." Can he give you some more instruction about quit talking? Quit being a deceitful talker. Don't be a stupid man. Don't be a stupid woman. Put away from your deceitful mouth and devious speech far behind you. But it tells you, but if you watch over your heart and listen to God's word, there's something that happens that fills your life with health. Do you see that? It's an awesome thing for us to understand. Now, many times we don't realize that the greatest weapon in your arsenal is called a two-edged sword and the high praises of God. They go together. A little later I'll show you how they go together. But the praises of God, this is one of the most victorious moments of your life if you learn to praise in the midst of your situation. And the Holy Spirit will help you. And it's important that we understand that. Now, let me talk to you about this, the garments of glory. This is an Old Testament and a New Testament teaching. You can clothe yourselves with glory. You already have glory in your heart. He, the Lord of glory, lives inside of you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. From your innermost being, who's in your innermost being? Christ. Who is He? The Lord of glory. What is glory? The manifest presence of God. From your innermost being shall flow forth rivers of living water. That means coming out of you from the Lord of glory who indwells you by His Spirit, called the Spirit of Christ, coming out of you is going to be the actual manifest presence of God that will become like a garment. It will become like a clothing to you. Are we together? I want you to see where the Scriptures talk about this. Go to Isaiah chapter 61. And this is going to be very familiar to you because Jesus quotes from it. But I want you to notice where He stops, because it picks up at the cross, which wasn't there yet when he quoted from it. Now remember, the term glory speaks of manifest presence. Isaiah 61 and 1, do you have it? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Think about that. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. Did that jailer need to hear the good news? Did those prisoners in that jail cell, did they need to hear good news? To bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. You ever been brokenhearted? You ever seen somebody brokenhearted around you? You can be a binder of the brokenhearted through the working of the glory of God through His Spirit. To proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. To proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And He stopped. Now Jesus stops quoting there. Because the next statement and the rest of that particular chapter has to do with the cross and the second coming of Jesus Christ. Some of it applies to the second coming of Jesus. Some of it applies to the day that we're in right now. The day of vengeance was the day of the cross, where Jesus led captivity captive. And He overpowered the powers of darkness, took the keys from Satan. And we now dwell in a land of victory because we as Christians belong to Christ. But I want you to see the language that's being used there. Now, if you'll drop down to the next few verses, second part of verse 2. To proclaim the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Now, listen to verse 3. To grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes. Ashes was a symbol of mourning. The garland was a symbol of victory. To give them victory instead of mourning. Give them a garland instead of ashes. The oil of gladness instead of mourning. The mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. So they will be called the oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. Now this statement reaches from the cross all the way to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice the language. What's God going to give you coming out of the cross? He's going to give you a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise. Now, the word mantle here means something you cover your whole body with. But what I want you to see is something that you don't see in the Hebrew text. In the Septuagint translation, I'm not trying to get technical with you, that is an ancient Greek translation of the Hebrew Scriptures. It says He's going to give you garments of glory. The New Testament calls this the Spirit of glory. That in the midst of whatever your battles may be, from your innermost being, who's in your innermost being? Jesus. Shall flow forth. What is flow forth? To speak from the divine utterance. To speak in praise. Rivers of living water speak of the divine presence of God. So from your innermost being is going to come the presence of God. And it's going to become a covering like a garment for you. It's going to become a garment of glory. Now Peter talks about that. Go with me to 1 Peter if you would please. I want you to see this. 1 Peter chapter 4. Is any of this any good, folks? I'm enjoying it. The mantle of praise is the out of your innermost being shall come deliverance. This is, you know, and then we said that the Septuagint translated as the garment of glory. He's going to give you the garment of glory for the spirit of heaviness. Now, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 12. Beloved, Do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, look at it, keep on doing what? Rejoicing. For what reason? So that also at the revelation of His glory, you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. You see it? The Spirit and the glory of God rest upon you. Why? Because in the midst of this turbulent time, you're doing something that only a person whose faith in the Lord Jesus Christ can do. But your faith in Him and your trust in Him, your situation may not be changing on the outside, but you're worshiping God and you're singing your praises to Him and you're giving Him honor. And Peter says here, the Spirit of glory is resting upon you. He's alluding to Isaiah 61. Amen. All right. I want you to see, though, I'm going to give you one more scripture to get into the last area. I want you to see where the Bible describes this two-edged sword that we talk about as the Bible, the Word of God, and how it puts that and tehillah, or praise, together. And if you go to Psalm 149, and then we're going to move into our final area. If you look at Psalm 149, what do you think the devils were doing when that earthquake came around that prison? Do you think they were kind of standing off as far as they can get? You can be sure of that. So listen now, listen to Psalm 149. Verse number 1 says, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. And His tehillah in the congregation of the godly ones. Now that's our commandment. Now, the writer is trying to tell us something awesome. Praise the Lord. Just praise the Lord. Just give Him thanks. Just praise Him for His goodness. You see, the thing about tehillah, it doesn't mean just simply to praise the Lord. It means praise Him for something. You praise Him for His excellent goodness. You praise Him for His kind. You praise Him for what He's done. You praise Him for who He is. You worship Him. This is what it is. It's a connected term. Now, drop down if you would please to verse number 69. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. They're going to go together. Two-edged sword is symbolic for the Word of God, the sword of your weaponry. All right? Two things working hand in hand, the high praises of God and the Word of God. They go together. To execute vengeance on the nations, punishment on the people, this would be demonic realms in particular. To bind their kings with chains, their nobles with fetters of iron. Verse number 9, to execute on them the judgment written. This is an honor for all His godly ones. Praise the Lord. You see what he's saying? Praise the Lord. This is an honor. God has given you a way to defeat the enemy. We're not using this as a catch-all over everything. I'll talk about that in a moment. But God has given you a way, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to walk in victory with a two-edged sword and the high praises of God in your mouth. Giving honor to God, praising the Lord. You quieten the enemy. You silence the enemy. He can't do anything. Why? Because God inhabits or is enthroned in the tehillah of His people. That's what Paul and Silas were doing. Now, I'm not telling you an earthquake's going to come every time to do that. But what I am telling you is something's going to happen to you. You may be able to sustain. You will be able to sustain whatever you're dealing with. You will be composed by the Spirit of glory, by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. But He can do awesome things. Awesome miracles. The first time that word used, you talk about God's awesome. He does awesome miracles through the tehillah of His people, His praising people. And God says, I have made this an ordinance in Jacob. The sign is going to be happiness in their tents and praising God and worshiping because I'm calling them to be believers. Amen? Let's come to the last area. I just want you to see something now. Let's bring it very close to home about the believer's personal victory. I don't want you to misunderstand the message of praise that I'm sharing with you today. It's so easy to do that. Praise is not some formula where you manipulate God. where you make God do what you want Him to do. That's not what praise is all about. And this is where the Holy Spirit comes into the picture. It's something we really need to understand. If we were left to ourselves, we would never walk in victory. We'd get the wind knocked out of ourselves every time you turned around. And we wouldn't know what would happen. We wouldn't know how to overcome what had happened. But God has ordained in the new creation. In fact, the very last thing He said to the apostles in the closing chapter of Matthew, He said, there's something I want you to understand. That's my addendum. I want you to understand that I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. There will never be a time that I'm not there. Why do you need to be there? Because I'm not just going to give you salvation. I am your salvation. Your joy is to be in me. Your life is to be in me. Your victory is to be in me. I am to be your life. I just want you to set your eyes on me. You don't have to do anything else. I am your victory. I'll be the victory in your mouth. I'll be the praise on your lips. That's an awesome, when you talk about it, it's something very awesome that He works salvation in us. Now, you remember what we read in Psalm 40, verse 3? It says, He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Who did that? He, God did. And Psalm 40 is about Jesus. He, that is Jesus, put a new song in my mouth. This Jesus who is in my heart, when I was despondent, when I didn't know what to do, and I didn't want to be around anybody. I didn't want nobody to talk to me. I wanted to hide. I wanted to do my own thing. You ever been there? Didn't want to go to church. This is my pity party. I'm gonna enjoy it. This is my problem. I can handle this thing all by myself. No, you can't, baby. He put a song in my mouth. He put a song in my heart. A song of praise. A song of Tehillah. Hallelujah. I will be with you always. You need to understand that I am the one who's helping you work your salvation. I'm not going to just overpower you and make you do. We're going to work in such a way that you're going to want to do, and I'm going to put the want to inside of you. And you've been there 100 times. When you didn't want to, something clicked, and then you wanted to. Where did that wanted to come from? He put a song in my heart today, a song of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There was no song we used to sing years ago. But Alan probably remember this. My heart was distressed neath Jehovah's dread frown. And lo, in the pit where my sins dragged me down. I cried to the Lord from the deep miry clay, who tenderly brought me out to golden day. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul today, song of praise, hallelujah. How many folks remember that? He placed me upon the strong rock by His side. My steps were established, and here I'll abide. No danger of falling while here I remain, but stand by His grace until the cross to the crown I gain. He gave me a song, 'twas a new song of praise. By day and by night, its sweet notes I will raise. My heart's overflowing, I'm happy and free. I'll praise my Redeemer who has rescued me. You ever been rescued? I'll sing of His wonderful mercy to me. I'll praise Him till all men His goodness shall see. I'll sing of salvation at home and abroad, till many shall hear the truth and trust in God. That comes right out of the Bible, folks. See, some of these old-timey songs that we don't much sing anymore are full of the Spirit and full of God's Word. Amen. It said, He put a new song in my heart, or in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. That's Psalm 40 and 3. Now, in the New Testament, it translated just a little bit different, and the reason for that, because it translates from the Septuagint. If you go back to Psalm 40, I want you to see this, in fact. Go to Psalm 40. This is about Jesus. Psalm 40, verse 3, we've been quoting from this. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see, and many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. Drop down to verse number 6. Sacrifice and meal offering you have not desired. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. Now, the Hebrew translation is just a little bit different in the New Testament, the book of Hebrews. But the point that's being made here is that all of this book, someone wrote me the other day and said, I wish I could find Jesus in the Old Testament. And he's a Christian, and he's going to find him. He's just never been taught too much out of the Old Testament. What this is saying is that this whole book wraps itself around Jesus. He's the purpose for there even being a Bible. If there was no Jesus, you know, just put it with Shakespeare or some other book. But in the New Testament Hebrew, it says that he sent his son to work his will. Basically. And the Father's will is that through the Son, he would wrap you up in the Son. That make any sense? Just as the Son was wrapped up in the whole of the old Bible, what God does in the New Testament, when you're born again child of God, he wraps up your life in Christ. Amen? That means that Christ is going to fill out your life. And so these songs of praise, these Tehillah that we sing, almost all the time, unless we're gathering as a congregation, almost all the time that happens to you, Jesus started it. When Paul and Silas were in prison, they didn't feel like it. They may have wondered why they were there. I don't know. I don't want to paint a gloomy picture because they were used to suffering. But something inspired them. Who did it? The Spirit of Jesus inside of them. And they began praying, worshiping, and singing hymns of praise to God. They began singing the Tehillah. Where did that come from? Paul later wrote this, said, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To God be the glory. And my point is, folks, is making us understand that learning about praise is not just a formula. You have to understand that Jesus Christ is in the midst of your heart, in the midst of your life, to bring forth praise. He said, I will sing over them with joy, book of Zephaniah. I will rejoice over you. I will be the song in your heart. I will begin singing inside of you. And that's why in the New Covenant, God's people are praising people. Why? Because it's Jesus praising and worshiping with them and in them. Out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Where? Who's in your innermost being? What are the rivers of living water? That's divine life. That's the Spirit of glory. That's God manifested himself. And you know it's true, folks. You've heard me use this many times, but you know it's true. Here's one moment that you can be caught up in whatever the dreadful thoughts are, whatever it may be. And this is where you are in your mind. This is where you are. You're locked into that. You need to be set free. You can't set yourself free. You're not emotionally, mentally composed, ready. You don't know what to do. So you're caught into that temptation. All of a sudden, a song triggers. Who's singing that song? According to the book of Hebrews, second chapter, is Jesus. He said, I sing in the midst of the church. I sing in my people. Next thing you know, nothing outside has changed. But you've changed. Why? Because you put on the garments of glory, the mantle of praise. Amen or oh me. And we begin to find out as Christians that salvation is the Lord's. That's why his name is Jesus. He is our salvation. He works our salvation. We need to understand that. This is not permission for us to don't worry about doing anything because Jesus is going to do it all. No, you'll find out very quick that we cooperate together with him. And that's what maturity is all about. But we're able to sing those songs. He was there all the time. He was there, right? All the time. Waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. At the victory. You got anything to thank God for? You got anything to thank God for, Sister Lane? You got anything to thank God for, Brother Lane? What you got to thank God for? Jesus. So today, you got anything to thank the Lord for? I know you're praying. Right. You thank God for that good-looking man sitting next to you, America? Oh, Brother James, you got anything to thank the Lord for? Yeah. I'll get with you. How about Julie?
Is it every person I can reach from
it. Thank you, Jesus. See, thankfulness is the heart of tehillah, or the heart of praise and the heart of worship. That's why you find through the Bible so many mentions of being thankful to God and be a praiser. Because praise is the natural, it's the nature of faith. It is the natural outflow of faith. And when we are beyond ourselves, somebody said, I will never leave you. Well, why would he say that if he's not going to help us? I don't want you to just be with me. I want you to help me. He said, I'll be with you. I will never leave you. Amen. I got to find a stopping place, folks. Some of you folks can go to sleep. Some of you are just excited. But you love the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, into your hands we... We all want to do, Lord. You are our life. We commit all of our trust and faith to you, Lord. You are the reason that we are here. You called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. You put the songs in our heart. You lay the road of victory before us. You said every one of us appeared before Zion, before God in Zion. You said that you always lead us in your victory in Christ Jesus. You said, Lord, no weapon formed against us can prosper, but this was our heritage. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.